Yes, we have. In fact, it's all we could do to get the main attraction, Park Drive, working correctly, to get the CD-ROMs inside the cars to be controlled by the motion sensors. It's taken weeks of adjustment to get that working properly. And now the electric gear shifts on the cars are acting up. The gear shifts. Let's keep it in perspective, Hammond said. You get the engineering correct, and the animals will fall into place. After all, they're trainable.
From the beginning, this had been one of the core beliefs of the planners. The animals, however exotic, would fundamentally behave like animals in zoos anywhere. They would learn the regularities of their care, and they would respond.
Meanwhile, how's the computer? Hammond said.
He glanced at Dennis Nedry, who was working at a terminal in the corner of the room.
This damn computer has always been a headache.
We're getting there, Nedry said.
If you had done it right in the first place, Hammond began,
but Arnold put a restraining hand on his arm. Arnold knew there was no point in antagonizing Nedry while he was working.
It's a large system, Arnold said. There are bound to be glitches.
In fact, the bug list now ran to more than 130 items, and included many odd aspects. For example, the animal feeding program reset itself every 12 hours, not every 24 hours, and would not record feedings on Sundays. As a result, the staff could not accurately measure how much the animals were eating. The security system, which controlled all the security card-operated doors, cut out whenever main power was lost and did not come back on with auxiliary power. The security program only ran with main power. The physical conservation program, intended to dim lights after 10 p.m., only worked on alternate days of the week. The automated fecal analysis, called auto-poop, designed to check for parasites in the animal's stools, invariably recorded all specimens as having the parasite Plagostomum venulosum, although none did. The program then automatically dispensed medication into the animal's food. If the handlers dumped the medicine out of the hoppers to prevent its being dispensed, an alarm sounded, which could not be turned off. And so it went, page after page of errors. When he had arrived, Dennis Nedry had been under the impression that he could make all the fixes himself over the weekend. He had paled when he saw the full listing. Now he was calling his office in Cambridge, telling his staff programmers they were going to have to cancel their weekend plans and work overtime until Monday. And he had told John Arnold that he would need to use every telephone link between Isla Nublar and the mainland just to transfer program data back and forth to his programmers. While Nedry worked, Arnold punched up a new window in his own monitor. It allowed him to see what Nedry was doing at the corner console. Not that he didn't trust Nedry, but Arnold just liked to know what was going on. He looked at the graphics display on his right-hand console, which showed the progress of the electric land cruisers. They were following the river, just north of the aviary and the Ornithischian paddock. "If you look to your left," said the voice, "you will see the dome of the Jurassic Park aviary, which is not yet finished for visitors." Tim saw sunlight glinting off aluminum struts in the distance. "And directly below is our Mesozoic Jungle River, where, if you are lucky, you just may catch a glimpse of a very rare carnivore. Keep your eyes peeled, everyone." Inside the Land Cruiser, the screen showed a bird-like head topped with a flaming red crest. But everyone in Tim's car was looking out the windows. The car was driving along a high ridge, overlooking a fast-moving river below. The river was almost enclosed by dense foliage.